Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to today's Daf Yomi Maseches Krisos Daf Yotes. We begin on the Ches Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. Verami, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan. We seem to have a contradiction within Rabbi Yochanan himself. Verami, the Rish Lakish, and the Rish Lakish likewise between Rish Lakish and Rish Lakish. This loops back to yesterday's discussion regarding Yediyas Safek. So, if a person discovers with certainty, with divinity, that he ate a piece of chalav, and then he becomes unmindful again, eats another one, that Yediyas Vaday, having discovered with certainty that he sinned, it bookends the episode and separates the two eating experiences and makes him liable to two karbanis. What about Yediyas Safek? That was the topic of yesterday's discussion. He comes to realize that perhaps there was some chance that it was chalav. He doesn't know one way or the other. And then later on, after he ate all those portions interspersed with these semi-realizations, Yediyas Safek, at the very end, he discovers in fact it was chalav. Can we just group them all under the same halim, the same unawareness, and give that one group rate, one chatas for all? Or do we say no? They were separated or divided by having this somewhat of a realization in between. The perhaps realization, the asafik, is it qualified for yediyah to split them or not? We don't think it's yesterday, and Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan as well expressed their opinions. Rish Lakish says, yeah, Yediyas Safek does split. Yediyas Safek does count as somewhat of a Yediyah. Rabbi Yochanan says, no way. Now we seem to have a contradiction within themselves, the Sani Rabbi Bryce, regarding a totally different matter. A fellow became Tummy and entered the Middash. The halacha there is that it has to entail three steps, three phases: knowledge, ignorance, and realization. So he knew that he was tummy, then he forgets, walks into the Middash, and then he realizes what happened. That triggers a karbon. But if there's no yediyah to begin with, no proper knowledge of his circumstance, that he in fact is tummy, will not qualify for a karbon at the very end. The Sanya, we have a raisa, shnei shvilim. We have two pathways. Echa tummy vechator. Under one, they buried a mace. They came back a while later. They can't remember which. So now we know one of these two pathways is tummy, one is tar. So if you walk on one, well, maybe you became tummy, but it's only a suffix. If you walked on both, then you know, either way, meman of shech, you're tummy. V'halach barishan. Reuben walks along one path, lo nichnas, does not yet enter the Mikdash. At this point, he's only a suffix tummy. But then, before he does anything, he takes a walk on the second path as well. That confirms his tumah status. Either way, he's tummy, right? Nichnas b'sheni. Sorry, b'sheni, he walks through the second path, v'nichnas, and then he enters the Mikdash Chayiv. He has to bring a karbon if he did it b'shege, because he's certainly a confirmed tummy. Either way. Next case, halach b'rishan v'nichnas. He walked along path A and entered the Mikdash. Came back out, v'hiza, the Shana, the Taval, he went through the whole Tahara process. He got sprinkled from the Paraduma waters, did it again on the seventh day, went to the Mikvah. Now, before he did anything about the first possible infraction, he walked along the second road, and he entered the Mikdash. Chayef, once again in this case, again he has to bring a carbon, because either way, he had entered the Mikdash when he was tummy. He did it twice. Once after the first path, and once after the second path. One of these two made him tummy. One of these entries is eligible for a carbon. So although he did not have a confirmed status, he didn't know for sure that he was tummy after each separate experience, but in the totality of things, looking back at the whole picture, between both, he certainly violated once. We turn to the next time. Rabbi Shimon Poiter Bazu. Rabbi Shimon exempts him in this case, because you need to have a yediyah. You need to know for sure that you tummy, which he didn't in this case. As he entered, each respective experience only had a suffix tum. Rabbi Shimon Poiter Bazu. So in this last case, it wasn't a vada yediyah, it wasn't confirmed, and therefore it's not considered knowing. But in the first example, it would seem like he is chayiv, even according to Reb Shimon. First case was, he went through path A, and then path B, and then entered the Mikdash. Because in that case, he knows that he's tamei, either way. That qualifies as yediyah. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Poiter Bekulan. Mishum Rabbi Shimon. But Poiter Rabbi Shimon Yehuda, he says that Rabbi Shimon actually would exempt him on the first case as well. Ask the Gemara why. I feel it become nice even the first case when he entered after going through both pathways. Why? Amar, let me explain to you what happened. My skin was speaking as follows. He walked through pathway A and then went over to road B. However, when he walked on road B, he had selective memory. He forgot that he went through road A. While he was walking on road B, he forgot about the fact that he went through road A. And that's how we entered the Midrash, with that half awareness. Now, if he would be mindful of both parts, that's called a full yediyah, because between the two of them, he's fully tummy. But he only was mindful about half the story, half of the whole. Now, this is better than the second case in the Braisa, where each entry was distinct and separate. He had gone through road A, entered the Mikdash, and then was Tahir, which bookends that episode, right? And he starts fresh with road B, enters the Mikdash. Each case must be dealt with individually, and each case is only a suffix. But here it's better because he went on road A and immediately on road B. So between the two roads, sum total, he's Tamei. Tamei Vandai. And if he would be mindful of the whole story, of course he would have a full idea, but he had selective memory. He only remembered the second part of this whole picture. And that's the point of Machlekes. Does that qualify as idea or not? When you recall half, a proper half of a full story, is that enough or not? Tanakama Sabar, Tanakama, who held that according to Reb Shimon, in the first case, you'd be chayiv. So he holds, mixas yediyah ki yediyah damya. Partial mindfulness in a situation where if he would have just recalled the whole thing, he would be fully aware, fully confirmed as a tamei in his mind. Ki yediyah damya. We treat it as though he's fully knowledgeable. As long as he remembers part of the story, it's like he remembers the full story. Reb Shimon Sever, no. The part that he remembered doesn't suffice to make him a confirmed tummy. And since he's not mindful of the rest of the story, or the rest of the picture, that's not enough. Reb Shimon Sever mixas yediyah lav ki yediyah damya. So Reb Shimon Yehuda was quoting Reb Shimon to say that he's exempt because it's not sufficient for a full yediyah. Okay, so now we've explained the first part of the Brice. Partial memory, does it count or not? Alright, let's go back to the second part of the Braisa, and that's going to be the focal point of our discussion. That speaks of a yediyah suffix, right? One road, the suffix, entered the Mikdash in that state. Was mentire himself, started fresh. Road B went into the Mikdash. Each individual episode is only a suffix. Alright, halach b'rishim nichnas v'hizav v'tavol halach b'shem nichnas chayiv. question is why? His entry. After each individual road, it's just a suffix. Suffix tama. My chayve. Why is he chayve? Korban holy chayve lo yediyah. He didn't have a confirmed yediyah about his tuma status because each road is just a suffix. So if he would have traveled both roads and then entered the Mikdash, okay, but here he traveled one road, went into the Mikdash, became Toher from that possible Tumah, and started again with the second road. Omer Shloka Shamani Rabbi Shmoli. Oh, this price is like Rabbi Shmoli, who doesn't have that precondition, doesn't have that requirement of Yediyah prior to entry. True, there is no Yediyah. This seems to contradict Rish Lakish, who told us yesterday that even a idea about a possible issue is considered idea. And here he seems to say it doesn't, because he has to go to Rabbi Shmuel. That's going to be the question. Rabbi Yechon Omar, he says, no, I feel the same Rabban, even Rabbanon would agree in this case. Even if typically you need a idea, it qualifies. Khan also, in this case, we consider Safik idea, even a idea about that possibility of Tumah, idea is considered like a full-fledged, bona fide, confirmed idea. And the more figures, it's not specific to this case, general halacha, sagdai dech, the Gemara figures, kan also vodun chalatera kula. We consider the idea suffix over here and elsewhere as well, which is a direct contradiction to Rabbi Yechanan, who told us yesterday, idea suffix doesn't qualify. Kashid Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Yechanan, we have a contradiction within Rabbi Yechanan, and likewise, Rishon Rish Lakish, Kashid Rishon Rish Lakish. Answer to the Gemara, first Rabbi Yechanan, Bishlam to Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Yechanan, Kashid, Rabbi Yechanan could be answered like this, he never meant apply this principle elsewhere. This is unique. Only by Tumah. Kanos, over here we considered it as a Yediyah. Because we have a lower standard, lower threshold of what's required. Ava b'chala Torah kula, but elsewhere, loy. We don't consider a Yediyah suffix. My time, why is this special? Hachagam gabi Tumah, k'siv, here it says, v'nelmi menavu tami. He totally forgot it was concealed from him that he was tami, entered the Mikdash, indicating that prior to entry, he had some inkling, not necessarily fully confirmed, some inkling is enough. Idea de ispa nami safik chayev, chayev kro. Even idea safik, idea of possibility of tumah is enough. Abu chalatar kula, but typically, regarding other issues like a chatos, ksiv oy hoidel of chatosoi. He became fully aware. Isli idea hudum chayev. If he has a full awareness, full knowledge, yes. But anything less than that does not cut it. El Rish Lakish Kasha. Regarding Rish Lakish, we still seem to have contradiction. Because earlier he told us, Yediyah suffix suffices. And here he doesn't take that route. Ademukum lo Rabbi Shmuel. Instead of aligning the braisa with Rabbi Shmuel, who discounts the requirement for Yediyah, look like Rabbi. He could have said, it's going like Rabbi. You told us yesterday, according to that interpretation, that idea suffix qualifies. You're right, he could have done that, but he was trying to teach us another point. That in fact, Rabbi Shmuel, truthfully, does not require idea, which is interesting information, interesting fact to know. How Hakamashmon's point was to teach us to Rabbi Shmuel, Nami, Lebo Yediyah Betchila. That in fact, Rabbi Shmuel does not have that pre-entry knowledge requirement. Well, says the Gemara, is that his point? That's well known from a Mishnah. The Snan, a Mishnah, Rishmol Eimer, Venelam, Menu Shtepam. It says Venelam twice. So some learn from that you need that Yediyah before and after. But if you apply it for a different halacha, as we're going to see in a second, he doesn't have it available to teach us the Yediyah requirement. So obviously he discounts it. L'chay v'al helam tumma v'al migdash. Two types of concealments. He forgot that he's Tamei or forgot that it's a Beis HaMikdash. Basically, he applies it for a different point. So clearly, in fact, it does not have that requirement of Yediyah B'Tchila. Why does Rish Lakish have to come teach us this point again? Israel, there's a point to teach us. I mean, there's room to think. Mikra Lesley, true, he doesn't have a source from the Pasuk to require Yediyah B'Tchila. Mikmor Isley, perhaps he has it from, you know, Tereshu Alpeh. Kamashman, the point is, no. Quite a Rishmol, there's no requirement to have Yediyah B'Tchila. Okay, so we have this halacha regarding Yediyah Safek. Does it count or not? regarding Chiyuv Chatas, Rish Lakish says it counts, Rabbi Yechon says it doesn't. We find a Braisa regarding Tumah, where they seem to say the opposite, and the answer was, no, Rabbi Yechon was just pointing out that by Tumah, even an inkling is sufficient, but typically you need a proper idea. Rish Lakish could have said idea suffer counts, but he's trying to point out that according to Rishmael, there's no requirement for idea before entering the Beis HaMikdash with Tumah at all. Continues the Halakha Mishnah. So until now we spoke about a fellow who was uncertain. He had a suffix. Did he sin or not? That triggers an Asham Tali liability. Here comes an interesting case. He knows he transgressed. But he's not sure of the nature of his transgression. For instance, we'll have four examples. Chelev and Oysa Lefanav. He had a piece of forbidden fat. A piece of forbidden nicer. Either way, he shouldn't be eating it. And he ate one of them b'shege. Problem is he doesn't know which one he ate. So he certainly violated, but he's not clear on the specifics of his violation. What does he do? Another example by Arias. Ishtar Nida, his wife Nida, and his sister Imo Bais in the home. Shogak Bachas man got involved unintentionally with one, not sure which one. Either way he transgressed. Shogak. Next, he did a malach where it was Shabbos, let's say followed by Yom Kippur on Sunday. He did a malach on one of these days, not sure when. Shabbos, Yom Kippurim. Also, malach ben Hashmashes. He did malach ben Hashmashes, twilight between the 2 days, not sure which time zone he was in. Also, in all these cases, we have machlekes. Rabbi Eliezer says it's sufficient to be mechayev echatas. As long as the person knows he sinned, he's good for echatas, even though he's lacking that specific information about the nature of his sin. Rabbi Shua Poiter, Pasuk says, Asher chota bo. He has to know the specifics of his transgression. I'm Rabbi Yossi. I just want to take issue with that Shabbos Yom Kippur interchange. All agree. In the case of Malacha ben Hashmashes, he's going to be potter because there's a much more basic question there. Shani Oyma could speculate that in fact he didn't violate at all, because if he did it on the interchange point, maybe half the malacha was yesterday, half tomorrow. Mixas asayim, mixas asalamachar. The malacha was split between two time zones. So in that case, certainly you can't hold him accountable. So when do we have machlekes in this type of case of Shabbos, Yom Kippur? Alois malacha b'teichayim. He did a malacha all the day. He turned on the light, and he can't remember if it was Shabbos or Yom Kippur. Really, the day is not showing b'Shabbos also, Yom Kippur also. Another example: Oloi Haloyis. A fellow did a malacha. He's not sure that he flipped the light or did he shecht the cow. Really, the day main is a malacha also. He's not sure which malacha it was related to. So in all these four cases, he definitely did something which triggers a chatas. So as a person, he knows he sinned. In terms of the actual masa, he can't really define it. He doesn't remember. Shabbalezer machayev chatas. It's enough that he knows that he sinned. Rabbi Shua poiter. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, you should know. Poiter yhoy Rabbi Yehoshua af Masham Tali. Don't think Rabbi Shua only exempted from a chatas. He's part of even Masham Tali. This doesn't qualify for Asham Tali. Asham Tali is where he has a suffix whether or not he sinned. Here he knows he sinned. It doesn't qualify for Asham Tali. Now, when we speak about an undefined isur, how undefined? He's not sure between what and what. Meaning, how far apart are these two possibilities? Reb Shimon, Reb Shimon Shazri, they both explained. There's no question. Let's say, he's not sure whether he picked the date from this tree or from that tree. That's called Mishem Echad. It's the same nature, the same two things of the same nature. Of course, Shulchai, all agree is Chai. That's close enough. Even though he can't pinpoint a specific tree. Even Rabbi Shua would agree. He knows which Malacha, you know. Al Manachalko, so what's the Machalikus about? Al Davashu Mishem Beishemis. when it's a matter of two different types of malachas. Or even similar malachas, but of different nature. Rashi says, for instance, you have two types of trees. Two types of fruit, let's say. Figs and dates. Or furthermore, let's say we have two types of malachas, plowing and harvesting. So these are two distinct malachas, and if he's not sure which one he did, we have this machlikas, shebeleza machayev chatas, beleza obligates. Ultimately, he knows he did a malacha, even though he can't specify the specific details, but Rishua Poiter exempts him. And Rashi points out, this discussion spills over to another point as well. The pasuk which says, "Ayhoida elav chatosa," became aware of the chatosa asher chata, but that he sinned with it. Shachata, but that he sinned in this, has two applications, says Rashi. Firstly, like we said, in order to trigger b'chiv chatos, he must be cognizant, according to Rishua, about the specifics of what he did. Furthermore, it relates to way back when he did, when he initiated the malach. It had to have been done with a targeted focus, with the intent of doing this specific masa, but not if he was preoccupied with something else and inadvertently did this malach unintentionally. That's called misasik. He's preoccupied. It doesn't relate to him. It's not his doing. So Ashachotaba teaches us two things. In order to be accountable for doing a malacha, you have to know what you're doing. The intent had to be for this specific result, this specific malacha. And secondly, when he becomes aware that in fact he sinned, of course this is all b'shogeg, right? Becomes aware, he realizes. Again, he has to realize, he has to be cognizant of the specifics. So there are two elements of specificity that we learn from Ashachot Habah. The act, the initial act had to be done with focused intent, and the realization after the fact has to relate to the specifics of what he did. That would be Rabbi Yeshua's interpretation of the pasuk. So, for instance, way back when he was trying to, when he was doing the malach, not realizing that it's usur or that it's Shabbos, he was trying to pick a fig and he picked a date. That's misasik. It's a totally different masa, and does not trigger a chatas. Rabbi Yehuda seems to repeat what he just said, and the Gemara will discuss exactly what he had in mind. Afilu miskav lukot einim lukot anovim. Even if he intended on doing figs, and he picked grapes, or the opposite, anovim grapes lukot einim, he picked figs. Shchayrus, the darker figs. Black ones, because Levonis did white ones. Levonis, he did the, wanted the light ones. Who did Shchoris need the black ones? Rav Leza Machayev Chat, Rishua Poiter. Rishua says that's Misasik. It's Poiter. And Rav Leza obligates him. And according to Rashi, Rav Yehuda continues, Amar Rav Yehuda, Tmihani Impata Bar Rishua. In fact, it's a wonder that Rishua would actually exempt him in this case, where he was really trying to pick, he was trying to do a malacha. Turned out that it was the wrong fruit, so what? They're close enough in proximity, that doesn't qualify for the exemption of Misasik. What then does the pasuk mean, that he had to have the targeted focus and intent? Probably Misasik. Yeah, if he was preoccupied with doing something which is permissible, totally uninvolved in Isser, and then inadvertently got involved with an Isser, that's called Misasik. But in this case, we're trying to pick the apple, he did the fig, it's chayv. So we pretty much covered two elements of a related topic, specificity. One regarding the initial ma'asa, which triggers the whole accountability. That ma'asa isra had to have been done with focus, with intent, as opposed to somebody who did it in a preoccupied state. Next point, when it comes to B, he has to realize and becomes what exactly he did. That's Rabbi Shua's opinion. So let's go and focus on that point now. Tanya Rabbi Elazar, Elazar takes issue with that. Who cares about the specifics? Either way, I chaylev achal chayev. So in the case where there was chaylev and noiser, he knows he had one. Who cares which one? If he ate the chaylev, he's chayev a carbon. He noiser achal. If he ate the noiser, he's also chayev. In the second case of the arayis, I ishtani the ball is chayev. Yachoyis the ball is chayev. In the case of the melach on Shabbos or Yom Kippur, either way, Ibe Shabbos asam melach is chayev. Ibe Mekippur asam melach is chayev. So hold him accountable. Am Rabbi Yeshua? No. The pasuk requires specificity. Haru yoimar shachot ba. We learn ashivadol until he's clear by mechata about the specifics of his sin. From Elazar, what does he do with the pasuk ba? Hi ba my avodlei. By the problem is nasek. Teach us the second point of the Mishnah to exempt a preoccupied person. We turn to Amidbeis. Masasek demai. Let's explore the context of this misasik. Either chalav barayis chayev. If he was misasik while he was eating forbidden materials, chalav, or involved in arayis, he would be chayev even though he's preoccupied. That's an exception to the rule. The Omer Rachman Shmuel, a misasik, even if he's preoccupied, if he engages in improper consumption, chalav or relations of arayis, he's chayev shekenana, because in these he experienced pleasure and that compensates for his preoccupation. Meaning, with respect to something where he's held accountable for doing a mas, a malacha, etc., there it has to be done with targeted focus, with mindfulness to be attributed to him. But in matters where it's about ingesting, about having hana, he's fully engaged in that hana, and it's attributed to him 100%, despite the fact that he's preoccupied. So that's not really up for discussion. Be Masasek b'Shabbos, Potter. Some change it to Ella. Rather, we're talking about a Masasek on Shabbos. Regarding a Melech of Shabbos, he's trying to do A, he ended up doing B. Potter, my time is wide because it has to be focused. Melech es machshevas asra. Torah only forbids a Melech with intent, with purpose, with plan. Melech es machshevas, as opposed to preoccupied. Now, we have interesting machleik in terms of the extent of this exemption. How far does it go? Machlokes between Abaye and Rava to define the definition of misasik that exempts him from melachos of Shabbos. Well, Rava mishkachel. When to Rava, it's applied as follows. So Rava takes it a step further than Abaye. He says even could go in, for instance, shenuskavel lachtech. He had a big knife and he was cutting. It was detached. It's autology. He was cutting up the tomato, thinking it was sitting on his scalp. It was detached already. He wasn't trying to do malacha, but he was trying to do this form of ma'asa, the cutting, the act of cutting. Turns out that the tomato was running a root into the ground, unbeknownst to him. Turns out that he was cutting off an attached tomato, b'chatech samachuber, that also qualifies as misasik. So although he was doing chaticha, cutting, detachment, but he was trying to detach something which, according to his mindset, was already detached. That's called misasik. He thought he was doing something permissible. That's called misasik. La Abaye, according to Abaye, he doesn't take it this far. It's only in a case of mishkach, so you'll apply kigoin, for instance, in the skavalag biasatalish. He wasn't cutting and detaching and slicing. He was just lifting, picking the item off the counter. It's a totally different type of act. Turns out that it was rooted in the ground, unbeknownst to him, b'chotach tam chumay, detached something from the ground. So here, what he intended on doing, and the actual result are worlds apart, totally different ma'asa, and that's why he's potter as misasa. Itma, we have a discussion. Niskavin lak bias atosh, b'chotach tam chumay. He has this tomato sitting on the counter. He's trying to lift it, an act of lifting, not cutting and detaching. Turns out, unbeknownst to him, it's running a root through the count, and it's been detached through his lifting. Potter. His intent was lifting something mutter. He ended up cutting something aser. It's a totally different thing. My time, you know why? He wasn't even trying to cut anything. He wasn't trying to detach and to cut. So he's exempt. But lachtech is atalush. So that's universal. Everybody agrees. But if he was trying to cut a tomato, he had a knife and he was cutting it, which is very similar in nature to detaching. It's cutting, detaching. But he was trying to do a heter, not realizing that it was attached to the ground. The chatach turns out he was cutting as a mechubar. Abaya machayev, he's chayev a carbon because the yichavan l'shum chaticha. Fact is, he was intending to make a cut, which is very close in nature to what happened. So, although in terms of the halachic, you know, realm of things, he was on a different track. He was cutting something which was permissible in his mind. It turned out that it was forbidden, but it's close enough to be considered just a plain shkoga. That's not a misasik, because the acts are close enough in nature to relate to each other. Rav Amar, no way. Worlds apart, potter. Troy, he was cutting a tomato on his counter. He wasn't trying to attach something off the ground, and that's why it's potter. So thus far we have a form of misasik where his intent was heter, which resulted in isr. As we're going to see later, Shmuel actually holds it applies even more than that. Even if he was intending on doing something isr, but one type of isr, one type of malacha, and the result was a different type of malacha. That's also under the misasik umbrella in his potter. We'll get back to that a bit later. But first, let's go back to the Mishnah. Rabbi Yisrael Malay Nechal Kuvachu. Regarding the first point, what level of awareness, what degree of clarity is required to trigger the chatos? We had some examples where you had the Chelav and the Noiser, the Malacha and Bin Hashmoshes, between Shabbos and Yom Kippur. Rabbi Yisrael says, no, that's not up for discussion. Because in that case, it's very possible that part of the melacha happened in the Shabbos time zone and half on the Yom Kippur time zone, which case is potter anyways. Tanya, we have a brisa, Amul and Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi turned to Chacham, Dikdakta Machra, you prevailed over me in your arguments. My Amalei, what did they tell him which elicited this concession? Amalo, Dikdakta Machra. Oh, Amalei, this is what they told him. True. A melacha which has long durations, you can speculate that perhaps that's what happened. Half here, half there. But let's say a melacha which has a very short, brief duration, a quick melacha. He could be a ben hashmashas ma'u. He lifted something ben hashmashas off the ground. Rebbe Gershom says, we're going like the shita, that you don't have to put it down to be chayiv on account of carrying. So just lifting it from the Rosh Hashayachid, bringing it out, that's already enough. It's not going to happen in a millisecond. What would you say in that case? There's nothing to split. It happened either there or here. No, I'm going to lose. He told me you're right. You got me there. Dikdakta machra. Why? Why did he concede? If namely, he could have responded still. Miktsas hakbah hoysa mehayayim. Miktsas alamacha. Even this very short malacha can still be split into two. 1 millisecond was yesterday, 1 millisecond the next day. Actually, it's what he told him. The Dr. Machai tried to debate me. Well, at least in Miyad Chumkum, you haven't really prevailed. Because after all, it can be split into two, and you have no basis for liability. Ask the Gemara. Okay, the worst case scenario, part of the Malacha happened on Shabbos, but the conclusion happened after Ben Hashmash and Kippur. And that should be enough according to Eliezer. If the conclusion happened now, you don't need a whole preparation, only the whole shiur, because it's the conclusion which makes it happen. Although Rabbi Yisrael, according to Rabbi Yisrael's position, Gemar Malacha, Rabbi Eliezer Pata, according to Rabbi Eliezer, completing a Malacha is not sufficient to obligate him. Hashemana Leidimachai, we find that Mishnah there, according to Rabbi Eliezer, the conclusion is what counts. It's not Rabbi Eliezer, Aymer Ha'erig, Shlo Yishachud Matchila. So to be liable for weaving, you have to, if you're starting, it takes 3 rows of threads to establish the weave. So the shear is 3 chutin, but chila. Once you have a partially woven bag, and you just add 1 thread, that's enough. Even though it's not really a full shear, because you see that adding and completing gives it significance. Here as well, the conclusion of the malacha should be sufficient. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Eliezer, Master, Rabbi Eliezer, had a different version, according to Rabbi Yosef. To establish the weave, you have to start with three. But there on in, you don't need three, but you need two. That's a share of significance. You see, even when you're concluding, you still need a full share. And that was the basis of Rabbi Yossi's argument. You can do malacha ben hashmoshes, part could have happened yesterday, part tomorrow. Part on this side of the ben hashmosh, part on the other side. You'll never know, you can't hold him accountable. The fellow doesn't have the specifics about what he did. Rabbi Yeshua says, exempt from chatas. What about Hashem Tali? Is that an option? Rabbi Yehuda, no way. Paitrei, hoy Rabbi Yeshua, af Hashem Tali, Tanya. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, explain the Braisa. That in fact, Paitrei, hoy Rabbi Yeshua, af Hashem Tali. There's no Hashem Tali for this fellow. Because Hashem Tali is specific to an unknown. An unknown to the extent that he doesn't know if he's sinned at all. Shenemar. The Pasuk by Hashem Tali says, kisechta v'layada. He doesn't know if he's sinned. Probably says, opposed to this fellow, who knows full and well that he sinned, just not sure about the specifics. Shehado shechata. Amar Reb Shimon disagrees. Of course, he brings Hashem Tali. Zeo shemei Hashem Tali. In fact, this is the kind of fellow that brings Hashem Tali. Should never look at the pasuk, which says va'asa saw he committed v'layana. He doesn't know which one, but you're talking about a fellow who did violate. Should never va'asa v'layana, which is a perfect fit to this fellow v'zelo yada mayasa. This fellow did it, he doesn't know which one. Of course he brings Hashem Tali. Actually, Aval Safik Achal Chelev Sefik Liachal, but in the other case, where he's not sure if he even ate Chelev, that you could even actually question. Is he eligible for Hashem Tali? Say Vishalab, you can wonder about him. Im, maybe Hashem Tali him left, whether or not he's eligible. So when the tables turn, just the opposite. Our fellow is more of a candidate for Hashem Tali than the other fellow who's not sure if he sinned at all. Now, what did he mean to say? Really, we're going to exempt the other fellow from Hashem Tali? Mayavela, what's the conclusion on this? Toshma, we have a bryce, so where in fact he applied Hashem Tali in both cases. Toshma, chata v'loyoda b'machata. So this is the case of our Mishnah. He did a chet v'loyoda. He's not sure b'machata the specifics, the nature of his chet. Oi! Here comes the classic. Savik chata, savik v'loyoda. He has a suffix whether or not he sinned at all. In both cases, maybe Hashem Tali. Hashem Tali, in fact, is in place. Now, who's speaking? Obviously, it's Rabbi Shimon, who applies Hashem Tali in the first case as well. Man Shaman Le Damar. Who's the one who's known to hold that Chata Ve'en Yodo B'may Chata? A fellow did a chet, but not sure which one. Maybe he brings it Hashem Tali. That's Rabbi Shimon speaking. But Katani and the Braisa, however, continues and applies it to the classic case as well. Safek Chata, Safek Lechata. Maybe he does bring it Hashem Tali, so that confirms it. Shema Mina. Now we know Svili Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, in fact, holds Hashem Tali is brought in both cases. Likewise, in Safek Chata, Safek Lechata, maybe Hashem Tali. Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Nechel Vachulim, Kemat Amalema. Okay, back to Mesasik, which is the second half of our discussion. There was no direct intent for this Masa. He was preoccupied, busy with something else. Whether that something else was something mutter, which is a very basic Mesasik, or, as we're going to see, even if he was trying to do one malach, he did something else. Or, even if he was engaged in picking fruit, pick the date instead of the fig. It also qualifies for the Mas'asik exemption. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Shmuel. Firstly, here is an exception to the rule. As we said before, Mas'asik b'chalavim, a Mas'asik regarding eating fat, eating forbidden foods, v'arayis, chayef, shkeinenu b'chud the hanoa factor, which attributes it to the person regardless of his lack of focus. But Misasik regarding Melachas of Shabbos, Misasik of Shabbos is Pata, why? Melachas Machshavah, a thoughtful act, Asrotar. Omale Rav Rav Nachman. Really? Every Misasik is Pata? Well, Tinoikis, here's a classic case of Misasik. Tinoikis, the male was called to the bris. Twins. One needs a bris on Shabbos, one on Sunday. And mixed up the kids. He did the Sunday kid on Shabbos. Of course, a mila is a malacha of chayvel, making a wound. Well, here's a prime example of misasik. He was intending to do this kid and did the other one. But tonight we have a Mishnah. He's accountable. But tonight, Mishayloi Shnei Tinaikas, he had two babies. Echad Lomel B'Shabbos, one to do the Mila on Shabbos. Echad Lomel, the other one on Sunday, Achar HaShabbos. V'Shachach, he confused it. Umala Shal Achar HaShabbos B'Shabbos. He did the Sunday baby B'Shabbos. Shablazer Machayev Chatas, because he did a Malacha. Rabbi Shua Poiter. But Rabbi Shua only exempts, not because of Misasik. No, no, that's not why. It's because he was engaged in doing a mitzvah. So he gets a special pass. Atkan Leipater Rabbi Shua. Rabbi Shua only exempts him from the Kosovar. Because he always told about mitzvah. The person was on the mitzvah route. Who else a mitzvah? Even though he didn't actually accomplish a mitzvah, but it turned out to be the wrong baby. He gets a special, pass. Pater. Avo Misasik, but David loved mitzvah. However, if he was engaged in a non-mitzvah act, even though he was a Misasik, trying to do A, ended up doing B, I feel Rabbi Shua Machayev. Even Rabbi Shua would obligate him. According to you, Shmuel, every Misasik is Pater. Amar Lasi says to him, no, here it's different. Here's another exception to the Misasik exemption. It's Chayvel, inflicting a wound. You see, it's very different than your standard Malacha, which is typically a constructive, positive act of building, of accomplishing. Malachas Machsha. Inflicting a wound is actually destructive. It's a Malacha of a destructive nature. So over here, you don't have to have that intent, that purposeful intent, because by its very essence, by its very nature, it's a destructive act. It's just a malacha. By its just very essence, by its default, without that personal contribution of the doer. So just as it's chayiv despite being something negative and destructive, which is not, which is atypical, likewise, doesn't have this melechas machsheves requirement, and even a masasik would be chay. After all, it resulted in a malacha, irrespective of what his mind was involved in. Amalei, he says, hanach letenoikis. Let's put aside this case of the babies, which is a malacha. Yeah, but it's a destructive malacha. Runs a different track. Masasik hoyel makalka b'chabura. Chayv, since he's liable, even if he's makalka when it comes to chabura, when it comes to inflicting wounds, and makalka is chayv as well. So there is no melechas machsheves requirement. Misasik v'chabur chayv, likewise misasik is chayv because it's rooted in the melechas machsheves criterion, which doesn't apply. So you can't bring a kasha from here. But in a standard melacha, which is a positive, constructive act of doing, of building, melechas machsheves needs to have targeted focus. Eisvei Ravid Lishmo. Rabbi asked another kasha to Shmuel. You say every masasik is potter. Let's take a look at the mission. Rabbi Daimer, I feel maskav look at Einim, look at Anovim. He intended to pick the figs, he did the grapes, or the opposite. Anovim, look at Einim. Shchoiris, look at Levonis, the dark ones, the light ones. Levonis, the light figs, look at and pick the Shchoiris. Rabbi Lezer Machayev Chatas, Rabbi Lezer said it's Chayev. Rabbi Shua Poiter. And the question is why? Is he Chayev contra Rabbi Lezer? He's Masasik. He's trying to do A and they're doing B. Rabbi Shua Namilu Kapata. Rabbi Shua only exempts him in this case. Elabe Mina Lamina. Because there was such a wide gap between the intent and the result. The intent was figs, the result was grapes. Aval, but imagine b'chadmin, if it's the same type, figs, even though it was the wrong fig, afilu Rabbi Shua machayiv, Rabbi Shua would obligate him, which is a direct contradiction to you, Shmuel, who says any form of masasik, any form of preoccupation exempts you. Amalei, so he turned to Rabbi Yehuda, Shinana, my sharp one. So he complimented him, but he clarified it. He says, look, leave the Mishnah and come follow me. Meaning, let me explain to you the true intent of the Mishnah. It's different. than what you think in terms of the surface understanding of the Mishnah. Actually, it's much more complex than it looks on the surface. We're talking about a unique case where actually the result was exactly as it intended, with some twists and turns in the way. The malakad, the picker, it slipped his mind, what he had in mind to pick. But ultimately, Hashem was Masavib Kalasiba, he says, Hashem arranged that actually he carried out his intention. He fulfilled his plan. Nisgavan Lulakit Anov. He tried to pick the grapes. That was his plan. That was his kavvana. Then he got a phone call to him, and he got confused, and he forgot what he was doing. And he's thinking, okay, I need figs. And his hand is going to the figs. And you know, like the Rabbi Sharbeinu with the malach, with the coals, and his hand veered over to the grapes, and he got the grapes. So ultimately, the result was identical to his intent. Well, chayadai, alan avim. His hand shifted over to the grapes, and he picked the grapes. It's not your classic Masasik where he's trying to do A and ended up doing B. Here he's trying to do A and ended up doing A with some twists and turns in the middle. That's the point of Machlekes. That's why you can understand there's liability here, because ultimately he did achieve his intent. Great. His plan came to fruition. That's enough to obligate him. Rabbi Shua Savar, that's not enough, because his machshava, his thinking process as he was doing the malacha, was in a totally different direction. And that's required to obligate him. We need full focus, full attention. And this doesn't cut it. True, the kavana, the initial intent, the plan, came to be by the machshava. What was going through his mind as he's doing the ma'asa was for the figs, which was not fulfilled. That also qualifies for a form of misasik, and that's why he's potter. But all agree in your classic Masasik, he was trying to do A, ended up doing B, says Shmuel all agrees part. Okay, so let's recap the sugya. Firstly, what type of yediyah, what type of awareness is required to trigger a chatos, according to Rishua? Specifically, you have to know exactly the chet that was done, otherwise he's potter from a chatos. What about Hashem Tali, according to Rav Shimon? There will be an Hashem Tali in this case, yes. According to Rabbi Eliezer, he's chai b'chatos. After all, he's aware that he sinned. Specifics. And that doesn't really, it's not really required. Then we shifted over to another aspect of Asher Chatah Bo. Targeted focus during the actual sin is required to hold him accountable. There are some exceptions, first of all. Chalav Marais, because of the Anah factor. And Chabura, where Melech Machshavas is not a requirement. But otherwise, you need Melech Machshavas. You need Asher Chatah Bo. Masasik is Potter. We have different forms of Masasik. A very basic one is you're trying to do Heter, did Isser. We have two forms of that, Avai Verava. We had a case, Shmuel's Halach, which is even if he's trying to do Isser, but he was doing Isser A, the result was Isser B. He's potter. Then we have a more complex case. The intent was Isser A, and the result was Isser B. But in the middle, he got confused. Actually, he attempted to do something else. But ultimately, he did the right thing. That's how Rishta Machlekes, Rabbi Leza says, that cuts it. Suffices for Chiv, it's close enough. Rabbi Shua says, no. It's also considered under the Misasik umbrella and his potter. Okay, pick up the Shem tomorrow. All the best to you, and Hatzlacha Rabbah.